He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise. Please be seated. So today's parable from Jesus seems pretty straightforward, right? Don't be boastful, especially when you pray. Pray like the tax collector, declaring your sinfulness and asking for mercy. So amen, let's get on with our service, right? But wait, of course, it's never that easy when Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson, is it? So I mentioned last week that in Luke's gospel, we are getting close to Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem before the crucifixion. The lessons and parables from many verses before and after today's readings are about making sure the disciples understand what they need to know before Jesus is gone. How to live lives as followers of Christ and children of God, even when Jesus is no longer in their midst physically to guide them. And an important part of this understanding was announced way back in chapter 17 of Luke's gospel. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is among you." This verse comes right after the healing of the 10 lepers that we heard about a few weeks ago. And the Pharisees, after this healing, they come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to come?" And Jesus' response is that it is already here. And then he also proclaims that tough times are coming. As a follow-up to those proclamations, we have heard a couple of parables. One, last week, the parable of the wicked judge and the persistent widow. And now we have this parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. So what are these parables trying to teach us about the kingdom of God? In one case, we get a distinct message of justice, that even an evil judge will eventually relent toward justice. Then in today's parable, we get a vision of boundless mercy and grace. I think that today it's hard for us to imagine just how despised a tax collector was. We've heard that term used many times in sermons, in scripture readings in church, and even as we've read the Bible ourselves. It's easy to hear it without really getting the kind of impact that it had on those who were listening to Jesus 2,000 years ago. So I want you to take just a minute, and I want you to bring to your mind anyone you can think of who has become successful or is now living an easy and seemingly happy life because they were able to take advantage of people who were poor and vulnerable. Maybe you think of slumlords who charge huge amounts of money for roach-infested closets that are called apartments. Or maybe loan sharks came to mind, those who make a huge profit over people who are living from paycheck to paycheck. Some, depending on where you live in this part of the state, might think of the mafia. Maybe human traffickers came to mind, or those people who were trying to get very desperate people from other countries into this country. Those were the closest examples that I could come to in terms of how tax collectors were viewed by the Jews in Jesus' time. All right, now I want you to think of anyone who comes to mind that is the most devout and faithful Christian you can think of. Maybe it's someone like Mother Teresa. Maybe some people thought of Martin Luther. Some of you may have thought of important people in your lives that helped develop you into the Christian that you are today. And I want you to realize that that was how most Jews viewed the Pharisees. Right? The Pharisees were individuals who lived holy, holy lives that were devoted to God. I know that we tend to think of them negatively 2,000 years past Jesus, especially because of how they're portrayed in the Gospel of Luke. But these were highly respected, very holy men. So now that you have these two images in your mind, I hope that you have a little bit of a sense of the actual contrast that Jesus is making in this parable. We get an image of the worst of humanity, someone who is selfish, someone who cheats, someone who exploits others, especially exploiting the vulnerable. And then we have the image of the opposite, someone who gives generously to the church and lives a holy life. And you know what Jesus said? They are both righteous in God's eyes. The Pharisee was always righteous because he did what was required by the law to be righteous. The tax collector is made righteous because he was justified by God. And you may say, oh, but that tax collector, he humbled himself and he asked God to be merciful. Indeed, he did, but he never apologized to God for what he had done. He never apologized to the people he defrauded. He never says that he will give up his job as a tax collector and stop making a living by taking advantage of others. None of that is in this parable. He just acknowledges that his behavior is sinful, and he requests God for mercy. This parable was and still should be incredibly shocking, because a person who deserves absolutely no mercy at all is declared justified and made righteous in God's eyes. He does not get what he deserves. Instead, he receives God's abounding and amazing grace. Years ago, I was a member of a church where we had a young adult who would help out with vacation Bible school, Sunday school, and other variety of ministries that we had going on in the church, especially those that involved the youth or children. She was a singer and she was a guitar player, and the kids loved spending time with her. They'd gather around her and her guitar, and they'd sing songs that she taught them because she had learned them in Bible camp and then had taught them to other kids as she became a camp counselor herself. She had many really wonderful, terrific songs for these kids that were catchy, and the kids could learn about God and could learn about Jesus and what it meant to be a Christian. But she also had one song that really got under my skin. And it was called, "I Just Wanna Be a Sheep." Does anybody know that? All right. I apologize for those who are gonna hear this on recording, but here's the first verse. "I just wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. All right? Okay, not bad, right? I get that sentiment. I want to be a sheep and let Jesus be my shepherd. Absolutely. And the ba, 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 ba's are kind of fun, right? But then it goes into all the things I don't want to be. Don't want to be a goat. They haven't got any hope. Don't want to be a hypocrite, because they're not hip with it. Don't want to be a Pharisee, because they're not fair, you see. Don't want to be a Sadducee, because they're so sad, you see. In addition to the horrible anti-Semitic sentiment of this children's song, as these little children were singing, what I heard come from the innocent mouths of the kids who were singing with her, just bopping along, enjoying this song, these kids were saying, God, I thank you that I am not like others. Goats, hypocrites, Pharisees, Sadducees. The reality is that it is incredibly easy to pray or sing, or think like that character of the Pharisee in today's parable. Consider this phrase, there but for the grace of God go I. Often it is said when we encounter someone who appears to be worse off in some way than us. I don't think that those of us who have said it or thought it, and yes, I have said this, and yes, I have thought this. I don't believe any of us have ever intended for it to be anything more than recognizing our state of grace because of God's love. But have we ever thought about the unintentional message that exists in that phrase? What is it suggesting about the person or situation that we saw that caused us to think it or say it? God, I thank you that I am not that homeless person, that drug addict, a criminal, that abused person, the abuser. And even as I point this out, I am acutely aware that I am saying, thank you, Lord, that I recognize this folly. And I am not like other people who sing the sheep song or say certain phrases. In a way, it's like a spiral that can't be escaped. So what do we do? I think what we do and what Jesus is asking us to do is to remember that we actually are like every other person. We are completely dependent on God's mercy and grace. And because of this, there is no room to have contempt for others or to feel disdain for people who don't live up to our expectations. And in addition to being thankful for the lives that we have been blessed with, and yes, we should be thankful for those lives, we need to use those lives to work toward making a world where no one should ever have a reason to think or say, there but for the grace of God go I. I know that this parable appears to be a message about humility and self-righteousness, about a sinful tax collector and a super pious Pharisee, but really at its heart, this parable is about God, a God who is merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love. Keeping that knowledge close to heart will help us to learn to pray like the tax collector and to love others like our Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Amen.